Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant, this week focusing on the faith side of the outreach of Paul Grant as he is in Indonesia as we record this show. We're airing this on the you'll be actually touching down in Indonesia.
I'm actually in the studio as we speak, but as this airs, whether it's the Wednesday one or whether it's the Saturday morning session, my daughter Rebecca and I are in Indonesia as this is coming to you.
Okay. Well, tell us again, why Indonesia? Why are you going to Indonesia? What are you doing in Indonesia?
Yeah, good. So I have known Pastor Isaac for many years. He and his wife lived here in the States. We went to the same church. We developed a very strong relationship. They ended up going back to Indonesia. And now Isaac, for a lack of better term, is kind of a pastor of pastors. Mm. So he is raising up pastors in how to be stronger, better ministers, and thereby having a greater influence by the kingdom of God by putting into those who are actually serving the kingdom. And so we've teamed up with Isaac. We went in December, and that was kind of our first introduction. We did more of a business conference feel. I did some preaching in churches, but then we focused really on the business owners. So we're going back to one of the cities that we were in December, and it's called Jayapura. It's the furthest eastern city in Indonesia before you actually get into Papua New Guinea. And so Jayapura, then we did a business conference and built some relationships with churches. We're going back to kind of do the same thing. So on Sunday, on September 1st, I'm going to be preaching in a couple different churches and encouraging the body of Christ. Then on Monday, we're having a session together with pastors, local pastors. We'll get them all together so that Isaac can speak to them and speak over them. We can encourage them in what they are doing for the ministry, encouraging, uplift them, strengthen them to the best that we can. Tuesday, we're going to have a follow-up business conference. So I think that's the third already?
Yep, third.
Yep, so Tuesday the 3rd, mm-hmm. An all-day business conference. That's a follow-up session. And I'm encouraging business owners to utilize biblical principles in building their businesses so that they can exercise faith to build their businesses, watch God bless their businesses so that they can learn to be a thoroughfare of His goodness in the marketplace. That is actually a very foreign concept in Indonesia and in the churches at large in Indonesia, which is in order to be a minister, you have to be in the church versus no, God has anointed you to be where you're at, and we all have different callings. So how do we become efficient and effective for the gospel of Jesus Christ where God has placed us? So encouraging business owners is a big deal in Indonesia because they just don't get that from their local church. Mm-hmm. So that is going to be Tuesday, just a time of really encouraging local business leaders. And then Wednesday, we kind of end our ministry time, which is my daughter Rebecca is going to be having a worship seminar. So local worship leaders are going to come together in the afternoon. We're going to have some time of inputting into them and encouraging them. And then we end Wednesday evening with a all-city worship session. Wow. And she's going to be teaming up with a local Indonesian who's he was on the Indonesian Idol. So like American Idol, he was on Indonesian Idol. And really? If you remember, you know, Clark Beckham was here. Yeah, so unless you're an idol of some sort, I don't know how to team up with you. Okay. And so Indonesian Idol and his name is Nobu. And Nobu went very far in the competition and really gained some notoriety in the Christian circles. Mm. And so he's a very powerful Christian author, artist there. And so we're teaming up with him and we're going to have just a good old fashioned concert and crusade. I'll stand up, give a salvation call. And it's our passion that the community would come out and really experience the presence of God through worship, and that there would be an open door for his presence to then call people to his goodness.
So September 1st through the 4th, four real power-packed days of ministry there in Indonesia. And you'll have more information about this, we hope, on your website, legacyandfaith.com.
I'll do the best I can to get up an itinerary. I don't control my website, and so I'm an attorney, not a webmaster. So therefore, I will talk to my guy and try to get up the itinerary. I'd love for you as listeners to look over that, or even if you just jotted down some notes, you can always get these podcasts back over on my website at legacyandfaith.com, or they're posted at KCIS as well. So thank you for doing that.
We'll keep
with
you
the
in prayer, and we're also going to pray at the end of today's show.
Yeah, thank you. So just bathing Rebecca, Isaac, and myself in prayer over these days. I just so appreciate the KCIS family audience. It's really an amazing, committed group. So thank you so much.
Well, we do pray God's blessing on your trip, you and your daughter and Isaac, who you've worked with.
Yeah.
Well, this week you want to continue your message on the grace of God.
Yeah, I wanted to pick up just a little bit more. It's really something that God has laid on my heart. And I started the whole thing, as last week's show was more in depth concerning this, on God, what does it take to be a mature Christian? Mature and efficient, or mature and effective. So some of us are mature, but maybe we've lost some of our effectiveness. So in other words, our knowledge has just become for our own, purposes. It builds us up and makes us feel good, but we may not be actually engaged in the kingdom of God and actually building the kingdom of God with that maturity. So I think it takes both. And some of the things I just jotted down as a quick review is, number one, we need to know the goodness of God. But number two, we need to know that out of his goodness, he has provided a way of righteousness. And I want to talk a little bit more about that today. And then from that perspective of righteousness, that it's the cross and cross alone that has given us that our ability to have a relationship with God. We understand his promises. And by his promises, we understand that we just don't elicit them out of, but there is a competition to have those promises manifest in our life. And that competition comes from the enemy. So he is always trying to push against us to stop the promises of God from being manifest. And then ultimately, by understanding these things, we are encouraged and built in our faith. And by that journey of faith, we then are able to be more efficient and effective in the kingdom. So we started last week, we ended last week, I apologize. We ended the discussion by talking about the goodness of God and his mercy, and that is only obtained by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that Jesus was grace and truth. So John came out in John 1 and told us that Jesus Christ was all about grace and truth, that he was the perfect picture of God, and that perfect picture was grace. And so God isn't ticked off at us. As a matter of fact, it's completely the opposite. He's full of grace. He's full of love and kindness, and he wants that, those attributes to be known so that it pulls us and draws us to himself. Well, Jesus in Matthew 5:17 stated that he did not come to destroy the law, but to actually fulfill it. And so, although he led with mercy and truth, he lived in a time where he was under the covenant. So he had to fulfill the covenant in order to be our perfect sacrifice. So in that, Paul similarly states in Romans 3:31 that the law was not made void through faith, but that faith established the law. So what does this really mean? Well, first of all, in Galatians 3:11, it says, that the just shall live by faith. And so we know that being just, in other words, justified, i.e. that we have given ourselves over and submitted ourselves to the mercy of Jesus Christ, and thereby we have received his justification instead of trying to act our way to justification. And there are the two competing disparities in the law versus grace, the law of works versus the law of faith, as Paul calls it. That's in Romans 3, you'll find. So these two competing worlds of, do I need to act in order to be justified, or do I need to receive in order to be justified? And the law of faith, the law of mercy, has told us that I can't act in a certain way to buy God's favor. I can't act in a certain way to buy his grace. Rather, it's a free gift, and that free gift of mercy means that I can simply call upon his name, and that supernatural exchange of my unrighteousness that I was trying to act to get righteous has now been given, so that by a free gift, I have been made righteous. So in one system, I act to find my righteousness. In another system, I lean upon my faith that says I am made righteous because of Jesus Christ. So in Galatians again, Paul continues in 3 to say that the law, it has been fulfilled, and it was given to us as a schoolmaster, and that schoolmaster is given to us so that we can be led to Jesus himself. And Paul continues that when faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Rather, in Galatians 4:1, he makes an analogy that says that when you were a child, that you were given teachers and rulers, even though you were an heir of the whole estate. But until the appointed time that the Father has given. And by the way, I love that scripture, because then it really applies to my estate planning portion of my world. And so as we are children, that even though we were an heir and had all legal access, we were given servants to watch over us and to instruct us and teach us. And really, that's what the meaning of the Old Testament is that it's an instruction piece. It was never really set up as a do's and don'ts piece. It was meant to instruct to righteousness, to lead us to the promise, to demonstrate that by our own acts, we could never fulfill all of the thousands of things that we were required to do. And so every single time we constantly fell short. But then God, in his infinite mercy and kindness, introduces Jesus Christ to say, I am going to replace the schoolmaster. I'm going to replace the servants and the instructions with the final piece of the one who does and completes the entirety. So when we return from break, I want to talk and wrap up our discussion of what does it mean that Jesus fulfilled the law and that we no longer need to operate or walk under our actions, but rather we get the grace and the peace and the mercy by faith.
Looking at the faith aspect of the Legacy and Faith Show this week with Paul Grant, estate and tax planning attorney. If people are intrigued by this message, of course, they can hear podcasts, last week's show as well, at legacyandfaith.com. Also find out how to get in touch with you there. As we take a quick break here, we'll be back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Co-host Mark Holland along on the journey, although I'm not going to Indonesia with
Paul.
No,
you're not. Not that much of the journey.
But you are there as we record this show. Yeah. You're actually in Indonesia.
That's
getting
right.
Ready for a bunch of ministry, the 1st through the 4th here this first part of September. And we can find out more about that by listening to the podcast as you wrap up to today your message on the grace of God.
Yeah, and so we were just talking about how Paul is comparing and contrasting these two different ideologies. First is the law of works, versus in Romans 3, he calls it the law of faith. And we want to wrap up because I really think that this foundational message is so critical. If we don't understand the goodness of God, which leads us to the righteousness of God, then I think a lot of Christians, even though we've been Christians for a long period of time, continue to get pulled back into the worldly system of do's and don'ts and to act and to make ourselves better and better. And the difficulty of that is that in these competing worlds, the difficulty of walking and living in the law of faith is that the law of works, in other words, this earthly system, is constantly and continually calling us back to itself. It constantly wants us to judge ourselves based upon a worldly standard that, number one, is always changing. So, number one, why would we ever want to abide or try to judge ourselves off of a constant changing environment versus where God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore is what it says about Jesus. So therefore, we can judge ourselves based upon a constant versus something that is erratic and random, which is this world system. So as we think about these foundational discussions of His goodness, and His goodness leads us to repentance. And by repentance, we have been given His righteousness. And so therefore, we are free from the law of works. We don't have to have the boundary set up that was meant to be the schoolmaster and the teacher, because they all pointed to Jesus Christ. And by that, by being set free from those works, we can actually worship God in spirit and in truth. And that is our true liberty, that we can walk in spirit and in truth. And so in these contrasting worlds of the works versus the law of the freedom of Jesus Christ, that we get sucked back into the earthly system, but that entire earthly system is built on reciprocity. Reciprocity means that, well, if I do something good, then you'll do something good for me. If I do something bad, then you'll do something bad for me. If I put in a day's work, I'll get a day's wages. If I don't, then I'll go on welfare or something. I don't know. So it's always this tick for tack. And this world of reciprocity is built upon a system that is outside of God's perfect kingdom. And so we are always being pulled back into and trying to get our focus back on things that will not lead us to freedom, but rather the entire kingdom of God is built off of one commandment, and that commandment is love. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 35 to 40, he said, the law and prophets hang on these two commandments, which is number one, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and number two, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And Paul, likewise, in Romans 13, verse 8, he pens that if you love one another, that you have fulfilled the law. So again, the whole thought process is that the law has not passed away, but it's being fulfilled. And why has the law not passed away? Because there is still, for many people, the need of understanding rules and regulations to draw them back to mercy and grace. See, without the law, there would be no boundary set up in society. Without the law, there would be no ability for us to understand what is the ultimate righteousness. Because, heck, I can't even follow a speed limit sign half the time. Maybe that was a minor confession. Sorry about that. But how many of us are always under the speed limit? Because remember, it's a limit by which you go. So the whole earthly system tells us that we can't even obey man's laws. So how in the world could we ever obey God's laws? And the answer is we can't. So therefore, we need a different system. The schoolmaster is still in session, unfortunately, but it's always leading us back to mercy and grace found in Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus fulfilled the law, the perfect law of grace. That's why it was never done away with. It was fulfilled, but the fulfillment is found in the cross. So we naturally get pulled back. And these two competing voices cause many Christians to judge their relationship with God based upon their acts, instead of basing their relationship based in relationship to how God views us and the final work of the cross. Isn't it interesting that we freely accept salvation, that we can't do anything to earn salvation. But then once we have salvation, our natural recourse or our natural propensity is to work right back in to say, but in order to stay in that place with God, I have to keep acting. Those are incompatible. We stay and remain with mercy by leaning upon mercy by faith, not by our actions. So I want to encourage us that in order for us to continue to build our maturity, we need to remind ourselves of his goodness. We need to get right that we are made righteous through him and that his promises are yes and amen in him. And by that, we can increase our faith. And by that, our faith can lead the charge so that we can lead others to his goodness. And that's the whole thing that we want to do. And that's what I'm hoping to bring to Indonesia is the goodness of God. Not rules and regulations, but the goodness of God.
As we listen to the heart of Paul Grant this week, as he is in Indonesia, as we are recording this show, gets into 4 days, power-packed days, starting Sunday, September 1st.
Around the corner.
Tell us again your little itinerary there for your ministry.
So I'll
time.
Be preaching in a couple of churches on Sunday. Monday, we meet with pastors and encourage them. Tuesday, I have a full-day business meeting for local business owners to encourage them to build their businesses off of the principles of God. And then Wednesday, we wrap up our time in Jayapura with a packed day of worship, just to open up the heavens so that his glory can be seen and that many may taste of salvation.
And your daughter Rebecca leading that.
Rebecca
she's
is going to be doing that.
Leader.
Yep. So she will be leading that portion. You do not want to hear me sing.
Well, we do want to pray for you.
Thank you.
And I thought we could take a little time during the end of the show today to pray for this very important outreach into Indonesia, a mostly Muslim country. But open to the gospel here in this area where you're going to be ministering.
Yes, they are.
Jayapura.
Yes.
Which is in eastern Indonesia near New Guinea.
Yep.
And let's take some time to pray
for
Paul's trip. Father, we thank you for the heart that you placed in Paul Grant, the vision you've given him for Indonesia. You've put Isaac in his path, a pastor who has gone before and prepared so many of these different meetings in Indonesia. Lord, we pray for Isaac as he's putting together this ministry times, these different ministry outreaches. Lord, we pray that you'd give him wisdom on how best to share the gospel there. Also, Rebecca, that you'd keep her focused on you and that you would prepare her heart for leading in worship. And, of course, we pray for Paul as he is bringing the Word of God, but also his expertise in business areas and reaching men for the gospel in their businesses to share Christ. Lord, we pray you'd open doors that no one can shut as they have this ministry time in Indonesia. And again, the city of Jayapura is the focus of a lot of this outreach. Lord, we pray you go before them, even yes, as Lord. They begin ministering tomorrow, as we're recording this, September 1st through September 4th in Indonesia. And then give them safe travel, Lord, as they come back on the 5th and 6th of September. Lord, go before them, bless their time. And Lord, we thank you for the heart of Paul Grant and his outreach. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much. That just fills me with extraordinary joy. And I know that as other listeners join in that prayer, we bind our faith together. I'll bring back phenomenal reports, not just because of me, but because as a body of Christ, we do this together. And so I thank the KCIS listener family for lifting us up during this next week. So thank you so much.
They can find out more about this outreach. We're hoping you're going to have the itinerary posted on your website, legacyandfaith.com.
That's right.
Of course, they can listen to programs about this. Last week's show was also about this, legacyandfaith.com. The heart of Paul Grant. Again, pray for his trip in Indonesia, particular ministry days, September 1st through the 4th. Thank you, Paul. And thank you for listening today to the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.